Okay, try speaking.
Excuse me.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful day, and I am so honored this morning to open up the Bible with you. Let's pray for just a moment. Heavenly Father, we ask that the Word of God would be honey to our lips, and water for our soul, and a lamp unto our feet, even as that verse said in that song. We ask you to show up, illumine the Word of God to each of our souls, to our needs, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, before you is a guy who used to be, and actually I'm still quite the sinner, but I'm the older brother of three other sinners, and when I was a boy, when Christmas was coming along, we knew that Mom would buy presents before Christmas and hide them somewhere in the house. And usually they were in some corner of the attic behind the camping gear or in the cubby hole up to the left, which was sort of locked. Or at one year she put them in the hide-a-bed, as we call it in America, the sofa, sleeping bed. You fold it up and it was vacant inside there. She didn't know that we knew it was vacant, except for the presents. We found them every time. Well, you know, she found out about it, and she wised up, and she started wrapping them up as soon as she got them home, a little later, and that didn't stop Steve. No, I went in there when she was at work, and I carefully pulled the tape back and unwrapped them, and actually took the BB gun out and shot it. It was great. You know, it was an odd thing. That preview of coming attractions never seemed to diminish my zeal and anticipation of Christmas, because I knew what was coming. I want to do a little bit of that for you this morning. Steph's given me the task of opening up the book of Philippians to you. Paul was spoken of last week, as you recall, by Steph, and I want to unwrap just a few of the major themes of this book, take a risk or two this morning, and which you'll see later. And let's start that. The PowerPoint, please. Now, you'll notice that the Bible seems to be filled with letters, doesn't it? Why does it say the letter of Paul to the Philippians? I thought that the Bible was inspired by God and that God just sort of dictated it and there it all is. And yet, with the exception of three books of the Bible, of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and John, with the possible exception of one or two others, the whole New Testament is letters that were written by apostles or prophets in that early part of the church. So how does that work, really? Well, we note in the scriptures, Paul said that the apostles and the prophets formed or became the foundation of the church that Jesus began to build with components from every tribe and tongue and nation, building this edifice called the body of Christ. Refis and Romanians and Nigerians and Americans and everybody, and Indians and those who speak every language. Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. Next slide, please. And this, I believe, in that first century, in the 70 years after the time of Christ, as Jesus predicted in the Gospel of John, they would recall everything he said. And God inspired this book to be collected through letters written by apostles and prophets who were associated with the apostles, the original 13 apostles, 12 plus Paul, and through the filter of human experience, vocabulary, and preferences, actually inspired what we have today. That's why when you read Peter and you read Paul, it doesn't sound the same, because it went through different filters. And yet, in the mystery of God, he preserved this as his holy, inspired word infallible and inerrant. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Peter 1:21 as well. Next slide, please. Well, previous slide, please. Did Paul know that he was writing the New Testament? Did he know he was writing the Bible? I believe he did. We see in that next slide, Paul said that it was given to me this stewardship, this responsibility, that by revelation, something very special that comes up, very special word in the scriptures. It's not something that happens every day now in this way. It doesn't happen at all now. We're not writing the Bible still. But God gave Paul revelation to make known the mystery of Christ, as it has now been revealed through God, and again, the holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. So Paul knew that he was writing Scripture. What about the other apostles? Did they know that he was writing Scripture? Next slide. Yes, they did. Next slide. In 2 Peter 3, Peter wrote of Paul, including this book. He said, Paul has been given wisdom to write you these letters, speaking also of these which I've been telling you about, and which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable try to distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. The books and letters of Paul are scripture, just like the rest of the left slice of the book. Next verse. Previous one. So we've got the letter of Paul to the Philippians. I'm going to ask you to race ahead 4 slides. This is one of the risks I take because I'm not use of PowerPoint. Next slide. Next slide. Next slide. Okay. Paul, who are these Philippians? These Philippians were from the city of Philippi, which was, in fact, the second city. Paul arrived at the coastal city, I think it's of Necropolis or Nepalis, and then went immediately into the city of Philippi, which was the provincial center. And there he, because there was no Jewish synagogue, there wasn't there weren't enough male Jews to form a synagogue. So what happened in that case? Yes, it was his habit. He would find the Jews first. He went to on the Sabbath, he went to the riverside where Jewish people and seekers of God, according to the Jewish tradition, would meet. There he met Lydia, who became a Christian, and there he began to preach. And he began to preach, and he got in trouble and cast a demon out of a slave girl and got thrown in prison. The slave girl came to Jesus. 2 women became the first converts in Europe. And then who came to Christ? You remember in the Philippian jail, who were the next people? The jailer and his family came to know Jesus. So during Paul's second missionary journey, next slide, he formed the first church in Europe. He planted it there. And he's writing this letter now probably about 61 AD. So he was in Philippi 10 years before, and a lot's happened since then. He had stayed around for a while and then left. Next slide. And the next slide. Okay. Now let's go back 7 slides. Next one. Yeah, there we are. Okay. We're going to see that Jesus features very prominently in this book. It's all about Jesus, and we'll talk about that a little later, but I've got a little song here to help you remember how each of the chapters of the book of Philippians, how it relates to our relationship to Jesus. And then in the New King James, we have a memory verse also in the 2nd and 4th verses to help you remember the key verses of this book. And this is how it goes. This is just the is a working line. Can you hear that? Okay. Jesus, you're my purpose, you're my pattern, you're my prize, and you're the power of my life. You're my purpose, you're my pattern, you're the prize, and you're the power of my life. Would you join me, please? Jesus. Hold it out. That's right. Hold it out. Jesus. Don't be cowards. You're my purpose. You're my pattern. You're my pride. And you're the power of my life. You're my purpose, you're my pattern, you're the prize, and you're the power of my life. Okay, let me sing. For me to live is Christ, and to die is to gain. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You're my purpose, you're my pattern, you're the prize, and you're the power of my life. You're my purpose, you're my pattern, you're the prize, and you're the power of my life. I press toward the goal for the prize. Let me start that again. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus. Isn't this embarrassing? You're my purpose, you're my pattern, you're the prize, and you're the power of my life. You're my purpose, you're the pattern, you're the prize, and you're the power of my life. You're my purpose, you're my pattern, you're my prize, and you're the power of my life. Amen. Yeah. All right. Okay, I think that's why my wife is nervous this morning. Okay, next slide. And forward, about three. Keep going. Okay, previous one, please. The letter of Paul to the... We're going to just talk about these four ideas and a little bit more, but Jesus Christ is the purpose of my life, we see as a major theme of chapter 1 of Philippians. Memory verse, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This book was probably written from Rome, in all likelihood. Paul was imprisoned other places as well, but in all likelihood, it was written from Rome. Why? Why do we say that? Because in chapter 1, it says that Caesar's household heard the gospel. Remember that? You remember? And if you've read it, you'll see at the end of chapter 4, it says, greet those of Caesar's household who apparently had come to Christ through Paul's witness while there, also greeted the Philippians. So he was probably in that city. Paul's endurance through his suffering had resulted in three major things for which we're eternally grateful. This book of Philippians, he'd not been in jail, as Steph was telling us last week, under secondary circumstances, not preferred circumstances for his life. He's in jail, for Pete's sake. Were it not for that, he never would have produced this. It says also in chapter 1 that others heard that saw the courage of Paul to preach, and were more bold to preach the gospel. You think of it. 6-hour shifts. The Praetorian Guard were chained to Paul the Apostle. Every 6 hours he had a new audience. Think of it. And it says that some of them came to know Jesus. Why? Because it went to his knowledge of who he was. This, who's got Paul duty today? Not me. Or, well, okay. Got known throughout the whole guard, an enormous body of soldiers. And then, again, some came to Caesar, to Christ and Caesar's household. It occurred to me last night, just like hit me like a truck, that the preaching of the gospel and suffering therein motivates others to follow the Lord Jesus. It was just a couple of years ago, almost, well, next month, that... one of our co-workers was martyred in North Africa. His name was Ronnie. He was killed. He was shot in the head and left a wife and a widow and a child. She went back to the States, back to their home church. And yesterday afternoon, I was able to speak on Skype to a group of 90 young people from that church who are ready to pour out their lives to replace Ronnie on the field. in very dangerous places. And I was telling them four or five places they might consider, like Libya, like southern Morocco, like Algeria. And they're just eager. This, it demonstrates exactly what happened in the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Chapter 1 begins with Jesus. The first three verses, Jesus is mentioned three times. And he's mentioned 76 times in the whole book, by my count, if not directly, at least referred to. There are only 104 verses. Jesus started it all. Look at verse 6, for example. It says, "He who began a good work in you will complete it till the day of Christ." Jesus started our faith. He was the initiator. He's the one who will finish it. He's responsible. Romans 8 said it this way, "He who foreknew me glorifies me." In fact, he put it in the past tense. He who foreknew you glorified you, as though it's a sure thing.
Yeah.
He who began a good work in you will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. He is our purpose. Paul's lousy circumstances were turned by God for all sorts of advantage of the gospel, especially that Christ was proclaimed. Verse 12, he says, "I don't care of my circumstances. I'm rejoicing in this, that Christ is being proclaimed. Jesus, because Jesus is the beginning and the end purpose of this life. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Chapter 2. Next slide. Christ is the pattern for my life. Key verse, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Live in a manner worthy of the gospel, Paul said just a few verses before. Worthy of the gospel of Christ. This is so typical of Paul. You look at chapter 2, where he starts telling us to do this and do that and do this. Be humble, serve one another, sacrifice for one another, put the interests of another above your own. And then what does he do? He bursts into the most glorious explanation of the emptying of Christ and how he came, became flesh, and emptied himself of all his divine privileges, went to the cross, died in our place. God elevated him, and every tongue shall confess that he's Lord. And he ties it to the most mundane, everyday things that we're to do. Men and women, serving one another, greeting one another at the door, taking you out for lunch afterward, loving you, preferring your preferences, is deeply spiritual. It's motivated and grounded in the example of Jesus Christ. Listen, Gene and I remarked on this just the other day, how Paul roots everything to the character of God. We were reading together in the morning in 1 Timothy, and he did it again. He's saying, 1 Timothy chapter 6, he's saying, "Flee these things, don't pursue money, fight the good fight. For he who is blessed, our only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen, to him be the honor and the eternal glory forever and ever." So don't focus on being rich. Look at it. He just weaves in and out these everyday things with the greatness of Jesus Christ. He does this in chapter 2. He's the pattern for our life. Everything we do, everything he instructs us to do in this chapter is rooted to the model and the pattern of Jesus Christ. Christ is the pattern for our life. And then in the last half of chapter 2, he talks about his co-workers, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Timothy, he says, and then he says, Timothy is genuinely interested in the concerns of Christ, which go right back to the first part of the chapter. He says, concern yourself with the interests of others. And then he refers to Epaphroditus, who almost died in the trek to go back and take this letter to the Philippians between Rome and Philippi. Their pattern was Christ, it says. "Let this mind be in you, men and women, which was also in Christ Jesus." Chapter 3. Next slide. Excuse me. Jesus is the prize of my life. Jesus is the treasure of my life. He's the end of my life. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us about his list of good deeds and his heritage, his pedigree. He talks about circumcised the eighth day. He was a real Jew. He was circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of the stock of Israel. He was an Israelite. He wasn't a convert to Judaism. From the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of Hebrews. He wasn't born. He didn't convert in again. He was a Hebrew of Hebrew parents. Hebrew of Hebrews. But then he says it. And this is so key. Those things meant nothing compared to the extraordinary value, the excellences of knowing Christ Jesus. The excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He is the prize. We're going to work on this. We're going to see this with such clarity. Jesus is the end. He's the prize. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4. Jesus Christ is the power of my life. He begins chapter 4 by saying, stand firm in the Lord. How do you stand firm? Being in Jesus, in the Lord. Christ's life is infused in me, into my life. He lives in me and empowers in me. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 in a different way. He said, Christ who is our life. In Galatians 2, he said the same thing. He said, 2:22, how's that go, Steph? I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. It's not 22. Nevertheless, it is not I who live, but Christ lives in me. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 said it like this. Christ is our power. Paul said the same thing. He said, we have this treasure that is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and the presence of Christ within, in earthen vessels, all cracked and crumbling and fallible, but we have this treasure in these vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of us. How do we access this power? You look later on in that chapter. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Don't be anxious. Pray. Fix your mind on the truth. Take captive every thought to captivity of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. Be filled up with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ. For you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. A Sunday school teacher was talking to his class and he said, okay kids, what is brown and furry, has a furry tail, lives in trees, collects nuts for the winter? The kid answered, I know it sure sounds like a squirrel, but I know the answer is Jesus. Now you might be tempted to think I've oversimplified the book by saying it all points to Jesus, but it really does. Everything goes back to him. You remember that passage with the two men on the road to Emmaus? Remember, their eyes were blinded to who Jesus was. It was he who was walking with them, the resurrected Jesus. And he began to open up the scriptures, it says, and he showed them himself, Christ, from Abel to the blood, to in the whole Old Testament. He's everywhere. He's pregnant throughout. He's here. The gospel is not an end. The gospel is a route to Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. One writer wrote this about this Jesus-saturated book. He said this about 100 years ago. He said, this letter witnesses to Christ as a treasure worth all our seeking, at any cost, infinitely precious to our joyful finding, infinitely deserving of our keeping, of our holding, our apprehending, as he is in his mercy had laid hold of me and will keep hold of me even to the end, unto the day of Jesus Christ. Kingsway Church, be dominated by Christ. Pursue him as that infinitely precious treasure, worthy of all your seeking. Fix your eyes on him. Feast upon him in everything you do. Be so full of Christ that he seeps out of your spiritual pores. May he come to have the first place in every aspect of our lives and of this church.
That's good.
Let's sing a song. Maybe you've heard it before. Next song, please. Next verse. Next one. Yes, okay. All right. Okay, I think I'm going to ask Dr. Brown to come up here next to me and just share the joy. And sir, stand up here, would you, brother? You know, I'm going to say, David danced before the ark of the Lord in an ephod. You know, I'm just asking you to stand up here.
I pray for you.
Jesus, you're my purpose, you're my pattern, you're my problem, you're the power of my life. You're my purpose, you're my pattern, you're the rising, you're the power of my life. For me to live is Christ, and to die is to gain. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You're my purpose, you're my pattern, you're my rising, you're the power of my life. My purpose, you're my pattern, you're my pattern, you're the power of my life. I press for the goal, for the prize, for the upward call of God in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're my pattern, you're my pride, and you're the power of my life.